Well, that's not going to work.
Welcome, everybody, to Slurpcast.
Yes. I'm the world famous Mark Bernay. That's Wes.
Who's not world famous.
Right. And we have a guest, Frankie from Los Angeles.
Yes.
Who's Al Bernay's clone and disciple.
That's right.
Really?
He's one of the only clones that actually went through official Al Bernay training.
Is that Chai Tea?
Anyway, Slurpcast is located at www.slurpcast.com. It's a show that Mark and I do often. Not as frequently as we...
Every week, what are you talking about?
Right. We do this almost every week, except I was away for 2 weeks on vacation, so we were not able to do those. But what's the show about, Mark?
We eat dinner and slurp our food while recording a podcast about technology, especially new technology that we can relate back to something old.
So tonight we're at an old favorite place.
Swad.
An Indian restaurant in Lackawanna, California. Otherwise known as Lafayette. It's been a while since we've been here. What day is today? Today is Thursday of the
24th.
And it is officially what day, Mark? What day is it? We've done
the day before Bah Humbug.
Oh, I thought it was Bah Humbug Day.
Oh, okay.
That's tomorrow.
That's what you said. Oh, maybe it is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So last year, or the year before that, when we did our podcast 2 years ago, we must have been podcasting on Christmas Day. Because you were claiming it was Bah Humbug Day.
Yeah. Okay. Read an article that there's some ancient Jewish holiday on the day before Christmas based on all the discrimination of Jews faced by the Christians.
Okay.
That they did a bunch of weird things the day before Christmas to protect themselves from the goddamn Christians.
Okay. Well, I don't belong to any of those. I'm Episcopalian, which means I'm just over here on the corner.
He pisses on capels.
That's right. I'm allowed to because that's part of the rules that King James or whatever made.
Yeah. Okay.
That I'm allowed to divorce.
Okay.
But that's basically it. So all you have to do is pick your favorite religion,
right,
change the things you don't like about it, and make a new one.
That's right. Yeah.
It's that easy.
Uh-huh.
And just use physical force.
It helps if you're king.
Well, you don't have to be king. You just use physical force to force other people into submission. Just go to another country and just start beating people up and claiming that they have to follow your religion.
Right.
It's that easy. It's not hard.
Does that work in Russia, Frank? Frank, he was just in Russia.
It doesn't work in Russia. They actually get along in Russia.
Really?
Side by side.
Who gets along? The Russians or?
The Christians, Muslims, the Orthodox and the Protestants, they actually get along in Russia and Ukraine.
The Christians and terrorists get along? Why would that happen?
Christians and terrorists?
Yeah.
Oh.
Very interesting.
Isn't that what we're supposed to believe about the United States?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well.
That's kind of true, right?
Yeah.
We're a melting pot of acceptability.
Yes.
We accept other religions.
Except I don't think Islam is very popular here right now.
What is?
Islam is not that popular here.
Well, that's... Well, duh. You go to another country and blow up somebody's towers and see how they feel about your religion.
Well, Christians blow up stuff a lot more than us.
Actually, the Christians have probably done a lot more damage.
Even recently, the majority of buildings blown up around the world have been by Christian terrorists.
Hmm.
Like Timothy McVeigh in the United States was Christian.
Okay.
Well, the abortion clinics?
No, abortion clinics, that's true. And also in England, in London, England had a whole bunch of explosions from the Irish Catholics who were fighting the war, or was the Protestants. I forget which side it was. But Irish people are going to England and walk buildings all the time.
I think it's government.
Mm-hmm.
See that or dairy pollution.
Right. Yeah, people get sick of dairy pollution, so they blow up buildings. That's what does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But we also forgot to mention that part of Slurpcast, did you mention Slurpcast.com?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did, but I didn't explain what they were.
Yeah, we have a blog. If you go to Slurpcast.com, you can listen to the shows and subscribe to the podcast. You can also see a blog entry for each show that has URLs behind everything we talk about.
There are actually people who go to the site and actually read the blog entries.
Right. I would hope so.
There are people who go read the blog entries and don't listen to the show.
We get people like that. If you find out who you are, you're in big trouble.
We stomp them out. We use religion. Oh, anyway.
We use ninjas.
We do?
I saw this great movie, Ninja Assassin. And you can hire ninjas to take care of people like that.
Yeah. So let's get to some news.
Okay.
Do you have any stories, Mark?
I have a local one. That BART here now has cellular service in the tunnel.
Well,
it works. No, it
not for Metro PCS, it doesn't.
Right?
Yeah.
No. So who cares? Metro PCS is obsolete. You can get
it's not obsolete.
You can get unlimited plans. Not that much more expensive on the real carriers. We have
$60 for the the smartphone plan. Unlimited data, unlimited voice.
The data is good, yeah.
But right. It's never above $60 a month. That's okay. Including taxes.
Okay.
I haven't been able to find a better price.
Yeah, for data, that may be true.
Yeah, but it is slow.
Petro PCS, right?
Yeah.
I found it for $35 in LA.
But not for data. Yeah, data.
Not for the BlackBerry plan. They have a smartphone plan, which is about $60 a month. So, I can get... If I didn't have the BlackBerry, I could get one of the basic Nokias or the basic phones and just use that as my SMS.
Yes.
Right.
And for that, I don't need to have the smartphone plan, and that's going to be around $40-$50 a month.
Yeah, once you start talking about 50 or 60, you can get to all the other carriers.
Right.
On the move plan.
So far, Metro just kind of dominates in that area.
Okay. In certain cities only, but the other plan, the other companies are nationwide.
They are growing. They're not nationwide, but they are spreading across the U.S. slowly. I think their technology is weird and proprietary, which is why they have to set up their own cell towers.
Yeah.
I read about it at one time.
Yeah. Anyway, so the BART has that for the main carriers anyway. BART now has cellular service under the tube, and it did work. There are rumors it doesn't work, but it did for me today.
Okay. AT&T.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though, because that's like one of the most popular providers in the Bay Area.
Everyone hates it, though.
Well,
unless you want to get a droid. I dropped the iPhone the other day into Bing's food dish, but not the water dish, luckily.
Do you want to explain who Bing is?
Bing.
Yeah?
Bing is my housemate's dog, which he wants to call Jane. But we don't go along with it. We want to call it like Microsoft. We want to call it Bing.
Hmm.
So I'll post a video that shows why I love the word Bing so much.
Okay.
Steve Ballmer, this may be a hoax, I'm not sure, but supposedly Steve Ballmer was going around the Microsoft campus telling everyone to say Bing really enthusiastically. And some guy didn't say enthusiastically enough, and Ballmer fired him on the spot.
Really?
I'll post a video of that. It's very funny.
Is it a video
of the guy? No, not being fired, just of the guy talking about the experience. Yeah.
Getting fired?
It seems legitimate, but he might be acting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, along the religion topic that we were talking about earlier, right. I have an interesting story that I'm not going to read on here. I did want to read the whole thing, just because it's really cute, it's really funny.
Yeah. He ate up all the garlic bread. Oh my god!
We did. We need more. There's the pop it up, pop pop bread.
It's boring.
It won't take the place of the garlic naan.
No.
But so
just slurp it though.
The title of the story is called God's Subwoofer, and it's about a brother who grows up to become a pastor. But he's got a love for speakers and speaker systems.
Right.
And I suspect hip-hop music, although in the article they talk about like Led Zeppelin, some other rock band stuff. When he's assigned by his church to become the pastor for this one like church that's out in the boonies, first thing he does is he revamps their whole music sound system, their whole mixer, and he puts in these unbelievably large, powerful subwoofers into the church. And basically, the story is about how amazing that is and all the process that they go through of him trying to convince the faculty and the...
How's your cost? How's
about $9,000.
How many thousand?
Niner thousand.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, so Bing is a... What kind of name?
Bing?
Bing is... The dog is a 2-month-old puppy. Frise. What's the other word?
Frise or something.
Frise. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. I'll think of it later. But Bing is very cute. Or Jane. Whatever.
Jane?
Yeah.
So what's the... Why are they...
Because the housemaids would basically... Who kind of owns it and chose that dog?
Yeah.
Wants to name it Jane. And we all want to name it Bing.
Bing.
Yeah.
Bing.
You can't just say Bing, you have to say Bing.
So when you go to call the dog, you have to say
Bing. Bing. Yes. Yeah. So it's Brizon Frise or something like that.
Brizon Frise.
Something like that. Yeah.
Brizon Frise.
It's vaguely like a poodle, but it's not really.
It sounds from.
Yeah, it is. The personality is very different from a poodle. But it kind of looks like a poodle anyway.
So what's the personality?
It's cute. It wants to play all the time.
It
wants to sit in the lap.
I'm going to switch stories. I'm going to do something with technology. So you know how netbooks became a fad and they're quite popular?
Right.
Well, let's see. There's a new trend that seems to be happening.
Rumors of Apple tablets.
I know. We'll talk about that in a second. But what I want to talk about is the trend toward net tops. Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay, so
tiny desktop machines.
So these are like tiny desktop machines that are the guts are similar to netbooks. Although that's been a problem for people who have bought
these netbooks. Yeah, they're real slow and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like getting a netbook, but it's not a netbook. There's no screen. It's just the CPU. It's the base of
it. But they're low power. They're really tiny and low power.
Right. Well, they're essentially netbooks. So now there's a push to make these things powerful and more usable.
Right.
They are very portable, so you can take these things with you to work. And
you can buy something similar. If you just go to the clone market, you can buy motherboards that are very miniaturized and miniature case. So you build your own computer that kind of acts like a regular computer, but uses low power notebook like this.
Wasn't there a trend where people were putting these things in teddy bears and in strange devices like toasters to make them look odd? They were buying like Asus motherboards that were mini micro minis. Full-on machines. Yeah, we talked, I think, about this in a previous show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably even gave links maybe a while ago, maybe a year ago or something.
Toaster?
There was a competition for putting together the strangest machines, and people were actually putting motherboards into things like teddy bears and just making these odd machines. But the technology is good enough so you can buy these components that are really small. So I actually saw one of the Asus net tops and was encouraged to buy one. But again,
but you have an Apple on a net top, essentially, right?
An Apple net top? Oh, yeah. You can consider a Mac Mini to be a net top, yeah.
Yeah.
Although that's a pretty powerful net top.
Mm-hmm. Are they low power?
I don't know. I don't think so. They're not. They're definitely not like net. The guts are like net laptops. But I don't think they're like netbooks. They're not like low-powered devices. Mine's a dual-core Intel, so...
No, I'm looking to save electricity. My electric bill is ridiculous. So I'm looking to get lower-powered computers to leave on all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you save a lot?
I don't know. Maybe.
I wouldn't think that would make too much of a difference.
Yeah.
Because it's all solid-state electronics, right? I mean...
Yeah.
You're not wasting any more than a light bulb.
I don't know. In the modern machine might be a lot more than that. I'm not sure.
Some airport in like Alaska or someplace where it was freezing decided to install LEDs instead of the normal lights.
Right.
You spilled rice on the PZM microphone, Mark.
Oh my God. I have cat disabilities still. You have to forgive me.
Oh. So they decided to replace these lights that were in the runway that they had to maintain with LEDs, but they forgot one very basic reason why those lights were there in the first place, and it was not to give guidance to planes coming in for landing.
Right.
It was to melt the snow that would land on the runways.
Huh.
So when they replaced the lights with LEDs and it snowed, they discovered that the snow would just simply cover up the LEDs because they generate no heat.
Right.
So they...
I saw something like that about, like, just red, green, orange traffic lights in snowy places where they replaced them with LEDs.
Mm-hmm.
The snow would build up in the cylinder in front of the light bulb and block it because it would normally get hot enough to melt that. Yeah.
So they had to install heating elements to actually... by the side of the LED.
What's the point? Might as well put the original
exactly.
light bulb back
there. That's what I thought, yeah. The only thing that would make sense to me is that they're just more energy efficient, and that made enough of a difference for them to install these heating elements.
Right. But the heating elements, depending on how many watts they take, might be as much as the old light bulbs.
If not more.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of a funny solution.
Right. Frankie and I were at the California Academy of Sciences today.
Yeah.
Which has not changed. We were there exactly a year ago. It hasn't changed whatsoever.
Really?
It looks exactly the same, except that the Fat Tournament show was new, but it's similar style, but a new show.
Okay.
But all the global warming crap was all the same.
Mm-hmm.
The evolution exhibits were all the same. The plant exhibits were all the same.
Now, you guys both feel like global warming. You feel the same way, right?
Probably.
You and Mark?
Yeah.
So, go ahead and speak a little bit, Frankie, on this whole theory.
Well, Frankie's a real scientist.
Well, global warming, okay. Supposedly, the Al Gore supporters, they're claiming that CO2, whenever carbon dioxide goes up, temperature goes up.
Yeah.
But then again, in the geologic record, there have been times where the temperature goes up, and then CO2 levels go up.
Okay.
So which one is correct? Is it
afterwards?
Is it carbon dioxide as a driver or temperature as a driver?
Huh.
So if temperature is a driver, what's the cause of this temperature rise?
Right.
And
nice.
Also, they don't mention sunspots or solar activity at these events, at these locations. They just mention, we're causing it. Humans are responsible for global warming. They don't even mention the sun as a major driver of climate change. They don't do that.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah.
Because people are profiting from it?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's my theory. Like, I don't take a stand on either way. It's possible that we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing. And I kind of feel like, okay, yeah, maybe that's true. But at the same time, like, if you look back at the past, this kind of thing has happened before, right?
Yeah.
So this may just be more or less something that the Earth's doing on its own. And
it's an interglacial. That's what it's called.
Okay.
An interglacial means that it's a warm period.
Is it really true that the other planets are warming up also? Showing that the sun is in a hotter period right now?
Yes, well,
that's really true.
Like on Mars, it's been warmer. Mars, there's observations on the south and north polar cap of Mars showing things that look like Swiss cheese. That means that...
cheese?
It looks like Swiss cheese. Or pits. Ice pits. That means that the ice... it's melting, it's subliming, it's converting into gas.
Okay.
And that's because the temperature of Mars is rising too at the same time as Earth.
Huh.
So does that mean that we're causing it?
No. So we saw rockets there, they're making Mars warmer.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then...
I think it's aliens inside the planet. I think L. Ron Hubbard was right.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
There must be those Thetans.
Yeah.
Nice.
Or, also, if you look at the global population growth, most of the population growth is taking place in developing countries.
Right.
Now, in developing countries, they probably have like 7 to 10 kids on average.
Right.
Wow.
And in developed countries, the population growth isn't as much. The population growth is gradual compared to developing countries.
So developed countries used to have much lower because people...
Really?
Yeah, because people don't feel the pressure to have children to support them when they're old.
No, poor countries, they have more children on average.
I would think that, I would agree, because I would think that if you're more educated, you're more likely to ask the question, can I support these children in the future before having them?
You want to know what causes children and to avoid it, I guess.
Well, I think if you're even, can you be that poorly educated or lacked or not have that much education to even ask that question?
Anywhere in the world. The poor people in other countries know enough to do
birth control. There are places where you can birth control, but they can't because they need people to work in the fields.
Right.
Or they need people to do more work because it's so poor.
Right.
Sometimes they don't even have access to birth control.
Yeah.
So if the birth control is so expensive or they don't have access.
Okay.
So population goes up.
And the other thing, the other factor I'm serious is that people without any government benefits of any kind, and people traditionally had a lot of children, so that at least one or two of them would survive till they were old, and support them when they were old.
Okay.
That's true, too,
That's part of the reason people have a lot of children.
You figure out of the five kids I'm going to have, only a few of them, only two
will survive,
three will
survive to support me, so they're going to have a lot.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's something we don't even think about.
Right. Because we have the goddamn government.
And also all these developing countries, they don't have access to electricity, and they don't have coal power plants or nuclear power plants. And when the rest of the world is telling them, you cannot have coal power plants, or nuclear power plants, you can only have solar. And when we don't even have solar in this country, you don't have it in the developed countries, and we're forcing them to have solar. What are we telling them? They cannot have electricity.
Right.
Therefore, you are poor. You will be poor.
Right.
And is that ethical or unethical?
I know.
That comes to that question.
But if global warming is true, the entire world dies, they're going to die too, you know.
So what you're saying is
I like to say, if the whole world dies, all the kittens die. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful about this. Yeah.
So it's more than just cow farts that are causing global warming. It's people farts.
People's farts. Of course.
It's pets.
In the developing countries, of course. Look.
I'll post an article.
Not mine. I mean, I don't fart.
I'll post an article about how having dogs, especially, but even cats and other pets, causes your carbon footprint to be the same as if you had three BMWs.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not however, but thank you.
Just all the food. It's not because of the farts, but all the food.
Okay.
All the food for the animals takes more carbon to grow than cars would. Yeah.
Would it be wise for me to post my geo-tagged images of my vacation publicly?
Yeah, why not?
There's nothing pornographic about them, so I...
Oh, how boring. What's the point then?
Well, there's a couple of people randomly hanging out on the street corner, but other than that, I think it's probably fine.
Okay.
I went to Thailand last week for 2 weeks, and brought with me one of my purchases for the adventure, plus a very expensive map that I had to buy twice, the Southeast Asia. I bought a Garmin Oregon 550, and part of that is that the GPS is handheld. It has a camera built into it and lets you take pictures that are geotagged, so the actual location and position of your
iPhones can do that.
Camera. Well, I didn't know if iPhones actually geotag the shots, because Garmin actually embeds the information in the image itself, so that when you then take those images and load them to a service like Picasa...
Certainly iPhone apps that do that. Anyway.
Okay. This thing will do that, and then I uploaded the images to Picasa, and you can literally get down to the street level and see exactly where I was when each one of the pictures was taken.
Okay.
I also turned on Tracks, but I don't know of any web service that will allow me to use Tracks. Although I discovered there are software programs that if you have Tracks running at the time that you have a Canon, take a very, very high quality picture, you can then associate the time date stamp with that image to the track, and then take that data, that geo data, and merge the two together.
The track
together.
Being on the Garmin?
Yes.
The Garmin concept?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that has what I call keyframes. Okay. In the actual track, meaning where you moved around during the day, and those keyframes are time date stamped.
Okay.
So you can see like where you were at a specific time, just kind of guess, and then look at the time date stamp of the image and say, aha, I was located right here at that time, and then use that keyframe data to embed into the image using a special piece of software.
Okay.
So that I learned that today. I was kind of like... kind of stunned because the camera on the Garmin is not the best that it could be. It was pretty good, but it was not Not like my G10.
Right.
So everything is okay?
Oh, it's really good. Thank you. See if I can go to the next one as well.
Most of my stories are reasons why people should buy iPhones. My favorite part of the show, yeah. Okay.
How about a droid?
No, horrible. How can a droid?
Okay, so you know about this and you can probably speak to it. Thank you. San Francisco considers displaying phone radiation levels next to the price tag.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen that?
No.
That is ridiculous.
San Francisco Department of the Environment, if it gets its way, starting as soon as next month, Bay Area residents might start noticing the radiation levels of cell phones displayed prominently next to their respective price at all retail outlets.
There's no evidence.
If a cell phone has very weak radiation, that means it's weak transmitter will be weak.
What Frankie was saying, this is, of course, despite no definitive research that the handsets cause harm and the FCC's insistence that the devices sold to consumers are safe.
Quote-unquote safe.
Right. So Gavin Newsom noted is not about to stop using his iPhone anytime soon.
Right.
But this is legislation that's apparently going in.
It's all about new laws and regulations to restrict our freedoms and liberties.
Yeah. Right. Goddamn government.
I know. Exactly.
Force Mark Levin.
One interesting thing to note is when I went through customs, they were much more rigorous about checking me on the way back into the U.S. than going out.
I wonder. Other countries don't care.
Well, they did. I did have to go through all the different, customs and bag checking processes.
They didn't care that much.
Though. Not really. No.
Yeah.
Having the syndrome here, I guess.
Oh, I should have.
What's the syndrome? Like cat? Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
That's like if you go to Pete's Coffee and you ask for a grande, they go, what? What is that? I don't know what you're talking
about.
That's
like if you go to my house and ask for Jane, what's that?
Yeah.
We have a bing.
Oh, yeah, it's bing.
Yeah.
That's true.
I have something to talk about, but it's not related to iPhones.
What?
No.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, I know.
What would it possibly be?
It's kind of interesting, and I've learned a little bit about the history. Okay. I may have talked about it before, but for people who read books and are interested in literature rather than video games as a form of entertainment, it's kind of regaining interest. At this time, but it's an era gone by, I think, and that is the IF or text adventure games,
right.
Interactive fiction.
Yeah.
This is kind of like choose your own adventure type games, but much more complicated.
Okay.
Probably pioneered by a company called Infocom back in the days of Zork,
right.
Adventureland, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right.
These were text-based games where a detailed description of the environment you were in was described to the user, and then they would actually use English to navigate around.
Right.
Look at the rock, check my inventory, go north, go south, go up, go down. And using these actions, they were able to play the game, but they had to read it, and if it was written very, very well, the game was very popular.
Read? People had to read?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Yeah. And then one of the features that was added later on was that some of these virtual machines that played these Z Engine games or these Infocom games would then add graphics where you'd get a still picture, and then you could use the picture to figure out what was going on and the text combined.
Okay.
Well, I got involved in some of the actual tools for developing those games and have discovered that very much so third-party people have been developing and adding features to this engine, this most popular engine.
They also have emulators for a lot of modern day things. They have emulators for a lot of modern day devices for them as well.
There are FROTS emulators that will play back these Infocom games for almost every platform you can think of, including the iPhone and iTouch.
But the Android, you know?
Probably. I don't know about the Android. Anyway, the most widely used and probably the most popular multi-platform IDE or development environment for this is something called Inform 7.
Okay.
Inform 6 was more like a C. The language was more like C. Whereas Inform 7 uses something called natural language. Graham Nelson is the guy who developed this whole thing. Who's been supporting it for years now. Many of the big interactive fiction competitions have submissions made by people who've used Inform 7.
Okay.
So during my vacation, I played around a little bit with the language and the tools for developing, and it's pretty complex.
Should have made a game of where you were in Thailand, like me.
Yeah.
Describe where you actually were.
That would be cool.
You go north, in the north end, there's these prostitutes hanging out, and then.
Nice.
And in the south end, there's these kickboxers. And
there's this guy who's mad at you for not taking off your shoes when you walk up onto
right,
the deck
right.
To have a drink, and he's pissed off at you, saying that he's told you 3 times already to take your shoes off.
Right, and he's accumulated $90 towards the $100 spot equivalent he needs to have you assassinated.
Right, yeah. Right. Only I don't know that.
Says
so
he collects $10 more, he gets
so I stupidly turn around and I tell him, look behind you. There's a frigging beach.
Right.
In that beach, or on that beach, is sand.
Right.
You cannot expect me to not drag sand up onto your deck right. by simply taking my shoes off.
At least he wants... But the shoes will carry more, I guess. I don't know.
So the other thing is, he told me...
did you point your feet at him at the same time?
No, I didn't. I should have done that. Yeah. But I told him... So, but anyway, he told me, right. don't be silly. Nobody's going to steal your shoes.
Right.
Then another friend of mine who lives in... Thailand says to me, it happens all the time. That's bullshit. You could have said that.
I thought it happens that often.
He says it does. There's like actually a bunch of people that actually go against this rule and look around at shoes, and if they see fancy, expensive shoes, they snark them. Mine were kind of expensive. Some Tevas, you know, like $100 sandals.
Right.
But anyway, that's not.
You can get someone assassinated for the same price. Why would you pay that much for sandals?
Well,
he could buy Rolexes for that much.
He was figuring it out. He was probably tallying it up and like figuring who he could call to get the job done.
How many software CDs could you buy for that much?
Probably 3.
For $100?
Oh. No. By the whole damn library.
I know.
If I negotiate it right.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. Did I admit to something?
No. I've been ill where I have this syndrome that I... have trouble lifting up cats and other things.
We know it's something else.
Right.
You described it before.
Right.
Anyway.
I seem to be able to pick up bing. Okay.
Oh, really?
Bing. Yeah. Yeah.
Bing.
Yeah.
That counts.
You have to pause before you say it.
Right.
Okay. The other day when we were coming home, we were having such a great time. I was having a great time walking up the steps, and I bent down to pick up
bing. Bing. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Over at Make. Online,
right.
John Park posted this video of a gadget that
generates. So, one of the things I thought of a long time ago is just using a Geiger detector as a random number generator, and I've seen people do that actually.
In this video.
For the amount of microseconds between Geiger detector, but not by uranium, this is from cosmic rays. They just have a Geiger counter working off cosmic rays from throughout the universe. And that'll be as random as we can get on Earth, right?
Yes, thank you.
And they just have it counted over microseconds in between two clicks of it as your random number.
Oh.
But I've seen people do that.
So this thing is based on an Arduino chip,
watching
an hourglass and counting and looking at the sand.
That's not that. That's actually not that random.
Let's see here. It generates random numbers by watching sand fall through an hourglass. It watches falling sand in an hourglass with an optical sensor.
That's not that random though, because the sand is discrete things.
So the data is sent via an Arduino USB output to the PC where it is analyzed.
Right.
This entropy is useful for all your random number needs. My favorite part, the article guy says, is when the hourglass runs dry, a servo motor flips it over and starts again.
Yeah, but that's not random. Because there's discrete particles, so you can make mathematical functions that'll be random as that.
Okay.
But discrete particles that can only use a certain number of states of possible ways that the sand can fall. Yeah, my Geiger counter thing would be much more accurate than that.
Okay.
It'd be much more random than that.
There's a website, I think, that does that, where a guy uses a Geiger counter.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I forgot what he uses, but I think he's doing my same idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's got, like, I think he even has some kind of web app. Some kind of web app where you can use, you can make calls to his...
Yeah, and it'll generate
numbers
for you. It'll
give you the number for you, yeah. But, like, an API of some silly...
Okay, right. Yeah, so I'll try to remember what I've seen. It's probably the same one. Yeah. Sounds very familiar. And then, how about one of the Twitter founders has a new venture called Square, although it really should be Cube.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going back to PayPal, the origin of PayPal. PayPal, if you don't know, started out as a Palm Pilot application.
Yes, I remember.
Where you could beam money from one Palm Pilot to another.
That was it.
And the way, what happened when you beam, you'd run the application, type in how much money you want.
Yeah.
And the other person would run the same app. You beam them a beam of it. But both of you had to register with this right. website called PayPal.
Right.
And then you'd both synchronize your palms, and it was, so your palm would show that you sent this amount of money to so-and-so.
Yeah.
And their app would tell PayPal that they received this money from you.
Uh-huh. And I had a handspring, and you and I did this once.
Yeah, no, that was the original origin of the PayPal. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so Square is kind of like that, but using iPhones and other devices. It's a little hardware device. It's kind of a tiny little cube with a slot on the side.
Okay.
And it takes, you run a credit card, you swipe a credit card through it, and it turns it into sound and feeds it into the microphone port of an iPhone.
Weird.
Or Android or some other types of phones, yeah.
So touch is out of it.
No, because touch has the an input port.
It does. Yeah, so the microphone is a part of the card.
Yeah, it's not really the microphone. It's not really the microphone. Okay. Okay. It just turns the magnetic stripe information and the sound into the
microphone port.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
And then he has apps all around him so anybody can get this device and start charging people with credit cards. Then you synchronize your iPhone later and uploads the information.
Nice.
Then they sign it on the screen. They use your finger and sign it on the screen.
Okay. Huh. Yeah. So you can match it against a database or something?
Well, no, just in case the credit card company denies it, you can show the person's signature that they authorized the charge.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's going to be very cheap. I think they're talking about it. They might even give the devices off free if you have legitimate use for it.
Huh. So people could use that if they're doing like repairs in parking lots or...
Yeah, if you're using portable. Of course, you can already do it now without swiping the card. There's already lots of iPhone apps that'll do a credit card terminal. You have to type the card number in.
Hmm. Okay.
But this one will let you swipe it.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And because the Twitter founder is very well known, it was Jack. I put his last name.
His name is Jack of Twitter.
Yeah, Jack of Twitter is one who's founded it. So it's very well known.
Do you guys want some of this meat?
It's maybe. Meat. It's maybe. Very good meat.
Yes, very good meat.
You know about Google? You know about Google goggles?
Some meat.
I would give out the meat that I have. If anybody would like this meat, they can have some of that.
You know about Google goggles?
No.
Yeah, get some meat.
I can't even say it. Google goggles.
Google goggles.
Not Lady Gaga's, but Google goggles.
There's nothing Gaga's about Lady Gaga.
Oh.
So I don't know why her name is
She's
Gaga.
She's very popular.
I know
Everyone
she is.
Everyone loves her.
What's her real name?
Stephanie something.
And she is a pianist.
Stephanie Willamott or something like that.
Okay. She's a classical pianist.
I know.
A pianist.
Like a bull pianist.
So it's longer than the dog.
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
I know.
Alright, anyway.
So Google Goggles is something that if Apple were more friendly with Google right now, it would end up on the iPhone, but we're going to be deprived of it because of the fights that are going on there.
Alright. But it'll end up on
Android. But it's on Android already.
Oh, it is.
It's already, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an app where you take a picture of something out in the environment, and Google tries to match it with a database of other pictures in the world.
Okay.
If it can find a match, it then tells you all about that object. So you take a picture of a building or a bridge, and it'll try to figure out what it is and give you information about it.
Oh, nice.
Supposedly it works fairly well.
So like when I was in Thailand, I could have taken pictures of that suspension bridge that I have on, that I don't know what it is, and it would come back and give me info about
it. Right.
So could it hit like Wikipedia?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, wherever it finds a picture,
That's awesome.
No, that bridge is in honor of the king before this one, I think. Maybe it's in honor of this king, I forget.
Okay.
Well, King Bumpapal, I forgot what the number of this one is. Remember what his number is?
You can tell definitely the location of this picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
But do you remember, although there's other bridges in the world kind of like that, it's kind of modern style.
Yeah.
But do you remember his name, King Bumpapal the what?
No.
The fourth or fifth or something?
Okay.
Anyway, I think this bridge is in honor of him. A lot of the other bridges along that river are in honor of other kings, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, you could do that.
That was near where we stayed, which was kind of cool.
Okay. But you never took a boat ride on the river.
I never did, no. And I saw the boats, and I wanted to take one.
No, if you take a tourist boat, it goes up the canals, and you see all kinds of stuff up the canals. But the river taxi just goes up the river, but it's very cheap.
But they go fast.
But it's a very cheap and a pretty good ride, yeah. Huh.
We were we were kind of taken aback by the tuk-tuks and some of the aggressiveness that the taxis had, and we almost got caught in a situation where we were going to be driven to a jewelry place just to stamp this guy's card.
Jewelry.
No. Because they lock you in and they pressure you to do certain things. And,
That's how I ended up with Bing, by the way.
I know. I tried to help out there, but I failed miserably. The other thing that happened that was interesting is one of the taxi drivers literally lied to us to get us to get in the cab to go to a restaurant. Like, we wanted to go to the Swan Lum Night Fair, and he said, oh, no, that starts at, it was like 6 or something, and he said, oh, that doesn't open until 9:30.
Right.
What?
Okay. And you immediately said to him what? That's 9:30,
I suppose. No, I didn't.
No, you didn't? Okay. Yeah.
No, that would just add more confusion.
Right.
No, we were, like, more aware that that's not true and realized. Okay. And he said, why don't you just let me take you to a restaurant, and maybe we can do some shopping? And yeah, it was pretty clear that he was
a real taxi, not a tuk-tuk.
It was a real taxi. It was a metered taxi. It was a guy who actually, like...
Did they start the meter? Did you find taxis started the meter? No.
Oftentimes,
we would make them start the meters.
Oftentimes, they will hang out outside of their cab.
Right.
And just approach you on the street or on the sidewalk.
Right. Taxi, sir? Taxi?
Yeah. Oh, the biggest question is, where are you going?
Exactly.
Whoever you are, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. Right. Anyway. Well, we have one more item. Are we done with items?
I'm done with that item. I have one game I want to bring up.
So Google Auto seems really cool, but it'll never be on the iPhone, unfortunately.
Well, it may.
No.
We didn't talk about the tablet.
Yeah, there's strong rumors that Apple's going to announce it January 26th now.
I heard,
Because Apple has announced that there will be a showing of something January 26th. They've also told some of their developers to try to make an iPhone app that'll work on a bigger screen than average.
Yeah.
So people think that's what's going on.
I wonder how much of that is injected invalid data, if you know what I mean.
Also, the rumor is that the input device will be something you'd never imagine. I think you use a bull penis or something, because there's a talk like there's something absolutely amazing as an input
device.
That's
awesome. It's a bull penis input device.
Yeah, because you could type with your fingers and blow into the microphone with your lips. And touch it with your nose and your penis to have this input.
I like that.
Well, that's entertaining. I know.
And you want to surround yourself with people who can watch you use this device.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That'll bring Apple's popularity.
Love Apple.
Oh, they're going to love Apple for that.
They're going to give up Google once that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. No other company will even be able to come close to what they're offering there.
Yeah, so anyways, Apple has a bunch of patents for tablets, and they hired back as a marketing director, the original guy who developed the Newton.
Right.
And then there's all these other rumors going on that it'll actually happen January 26th this time. I think it's the 26th, I forget exactly, but something like that.
So they're probably going to, like, announce the Newton 2012 or some new version of it.
No, but it'll be very thin. It'll be, like, it'll be boundary. It'll have no borders. It'll just be a touch screen all the way across of a very thin device.
That would be awesome.
It'll be something like that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be cool if they used the original Newton name? Like if they said Newton something, just totally like.
Okay.
No, probably not. That's a soiled product.
Right. Steve may not like that.
Well, it wasn't his idea.
Right. Anyway, so everything I have is pretty much iPhone stuff.
So was the Newton programming language Objective-C?
I don't even know.
I think it was.
Was it? Was that, I mean, Apple invented it that long ago?
No, it was not invented by Apple, but it was but it was used, I think, by Apple at the time for Newton development.
Yeah,
I don't know for sure, but I heard that from somebody.
I bet if you go to Slurpcast.com, you'll find an article about it.
Wow, those guys are amazing over there at Slurpcast.com.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's it. Do you have apps?
Well, I have reasons why people should buy, as usual, I have a lot of reasons why people should buy an iPhone instead of an Android device or instead of a BlackBerry, because of all the hundreds of thousands of apps in the App Store. I'll name some of the best ones that will convince you you need to buy an iPhone, not the other platforms. Like, for example, there's one called iBoob or Butt, where it shows you pictures of a very small scale of a part of a body, and you have to decide whether it's a boob or a butt, and it slowly expands it until you can figure out for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I don't think Android would have that.
I think Android has better ones than that.
Really?
Because Android has nobody, like, yeah. like, you know, towering over their app store saying what can and cannot be displayed. So as a result, Mark, there's porn.
Yeah. Well, you can now get porn for the iPhone because Bing has an app now. Microsoft has an app called Bing for the iPhone that has no restrictions whatsoever. It shows pictures of the way you can use for porn very nicely.
Well, didn't Dave Weiner say something like the biggest porn app on the iPhone is Safari?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So Bing apparently shows off pictures better than Safari does.
That's awesome.
Okay. Then there's one, you know, the original, well, one of the original fart apps that ever made it to the App Store was called Pull My Finger.
Right.
Now there's a one called Pull Santa's Finger, just in time for Christmas.
Does it go, ho, ho, ho?
I don't know.
No?
There's one called I Lust, where it shows a cartoon figure of you and a beautiful girl next on one side of you and her big buff boyfriend on the other side of you. You have to glance at her body without the boyfriend noticing to beat you up.
This is something
that's approved by the... It teaches you how to teach you techniques for how to do that.
Okay.
And this is approved by the App Store. And I don't think you're going to find that on Android or anything.
All right.
Yeah. What's that? What are you doing? What are you doing?
So I got a brand new game that I've been having a lot of fun with.
Yeah.
it's similar to a game that you used to play.
Okay.
I showed this to you. You're not really a game person, but I.
No.
But in DOS, there used to be a game called Stunt Car, and it was basically a 3D rendering of a track, and you were like basically it was real time.
Right.
And you're looking out of your car window and you're driving down this track. But the cool thing about it, and it was pretty simple graphics.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it was that the gravity was light. So as you went over hills, your car would fly up into the air.
Okay.
Well, they have a more realistic version. It's more.
Like, DOS, was it for the color adapter where it actually the graphics or something?
Or I think it was for CGA.
Okay.
But and I remember playing it on a VGA monitor long after CGA had died.
Right.
But it was just so cool that it was still popular even long after CGA had died.
Huh.
Anyway, this is called Racer.
What's
the name?
Right.
Racer. I think it's Casher.
Huh.
Oh no! Sorry, Racer Coaster.
Okay.
And it's
for the iPhone now.
It's for the iPhone.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. You go over. You have different tracks to choose from.
Okay.
And you can go over jumps and things like that.
Right.
It does use the accelerometer to steer, which makes it really.
Does it exist for other platforms? Or is it iPhone?
It's only iPhone that I know of.
Yay.
But it. The accelerometer thing is kind of horrible because as you go around a turn, you have to turn the iPhone strong enough so that you don't see the track well. You can't, the track kind of goes out of focus. So
because you're using the iPhone as a steering wheel, but that's the screen as well. Yeah.
So you go like that, and the screen is totally.
But you can't turn it like that. Usually they're like a steering wheel. You turn it like that.
No, it's kind of more tilting.
Huh.
I mean, I haven't tried that, but anyway, it's a fun game.
Huh, interesting. I've got another one that's, again, unique for the iPhone, as far as I know. It's called Stool Scanner. And it's a fingerprint test. You use your finger you just wipe your butt with, and you scan it on the screen and read your fingerprint and the stool with it and analyzes it. I don't think other platforms can do that one.
Okay.
What?
That's weird.
Yeah. How about I Sock the Talking Sock?
You what?
I Sock the Talking Sock Puppet.
Oh.
It's a sock puppet on the screen.
I'm playing the game, though, so I can't pay attention to you.
Okay.
Okay.
There's one where you... Unfortunately, it doesn't work live. There's one I like called Assassin FPS, and other ones like it. I may have talked about it before.
Okay.
Where you have to live on a 3GS, you have the latest firmware. You can have a live picture on the screen from the camera, and then you can superimpose bullets on top of it and shoot people.
You showed this to me.
Okay. Are done? It's too good.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'd like this to go.
All this to go?
Yeah. This.
There's one called
three, I think.
Sure. The rice also?
Yes. He's done.
There's one called Pie Fight. Unfortunately, it's not live. You have to take a photograph. But it analyzes the photograph and tries to find the face in that photograph.
Okay.
And automatically throws the pie at the face.
Nice.
But it doesn't really work very well. It doesn't really find the face in the photograph. Anyway, it's just interesting.
When I did the uploading images to Picasa, I used their standalone, their actual application that you download. And it did the thing that, iLife does. Or not iMovie, but the Apple, like, you know, Apple figures out the faces and stuff and tries to group the images based on the same face.
Yeah.
So it did the same sort of thing, the Picasa client.
Right. Yeah, I have that. That's one by Google, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have that. It's kind of buggy. It recognized most of the people, but not all of them. But yeah, it's helpful.
And then it asks you, who's this, who's this? Yeah. And you can specify out of the ones that it already found. And then it tries to tie those, by the way, to the actual people in your Google contacts.
Okay.
It allows you to sync that.
Okay.
You guys finished the podcast?
No, we're still working on it.
We're doing it right now.
Where were you?
I was in the head.
Oh, okay.
I have a really, really fast metabolism.
He went to the head.
Right.
Yes, I went to the head.
He had to drain the main
vein. Should we do useful apps now?
No.
No?
Okay, this is a Slurpcast, and I'm doing a little bit of video.
You're doing a video of us.
For YouTube/Facebook.
What?
This is Wes here.
What?
Yes.
What?
What is that?
What?
Technology.
Yes, it's technology.
That's the same $100 Kodak camera I have, by the way.
Yeah, this is me.
Yeah.
I'm Frankie, right here.
Right. That same camera I have, it does HD. It does HD video. It costs $100. It does HD video and stuff.
So this is the Slurpcast, Mike. And this is one of the restaurants.
This is a Radio Shack PZM microphone.
PZM with rice on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You got to make sure you get the rice.
That's the best kind.
PZM with the rice.
Right.
Amazing.
And this is the Marantz recorder that we use sometimes. We don't always use it all the time.
Right.
But look at this. Watch. Ready? Wow. That's,
that's
awesome.
Right.
That's
awesome.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
So, thanks for listening to the show. www.slurpcast.com.
It is.
Yeah.
Slurpcast.com.
Thank you. So, what's the overall impression on the restaurant, guys?
It's good.
It's good. It's a good restaurant. We came here last year, actually.
Yeah, I remember. It's always been really good. So, I'm pretty happy with that. Swad.
So, Frankie's trip is a duplicate of last, because last year we went to the California Academy of Sciences also. Matter of fact, I took, in my iPhone, I have pictures that I took of Frank last time.
So
as he went in front of things, I showed him, here's a picture I took of you. Well, I'm not going to bother taking a picture now, because you already took one last year of the same thing.
That's true. So this is a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's repeating the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the circle of life.
That's right.
It's a cycle.
Circle of life. Sorry. Mm.
Everything occurs in cycles.
Yeah. Remember that.
Some global warming.
It's
like the hockey stick diagram, I understand.
Oh, yeah, the Michael Mann graph.
Right.
From 1998.
Right.
That's the graph.
So what do I owe?
Yeah.
Do I do the tip?
$20 each, I guess.
Let's see.
I'll go to the bathroom.
Let me figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening to the show, guys. Again, www.slurpcast.com.
Right, exactly.
There's a blog there. We post all the show notes up there. Please go visit and post. Add your own comments. Tell us what we need to be doing that we're not doing now. Thanks for listening.